Well, it's a fast-moving situation in the last few hours. Lots to unpack. Let's speak now with our U.S. Bureau Chief, Simon Marks. Simon, may we speak about Hong Kong first and Mr. Trump's threat to sanction Chinese officials over the tightening of controls over the territory. What would you say the Trump administration's calibrations are with respect to potential reprisals from Beijing?
Well, look, they must surely know that by taking this decision, Christine, they are seismically changing the nature of the relationship between the US and Hong Kong, and therefore seismically changing the nature of the relationship between the United States and China. I don't know if they have a sense of what the specific reprisals are that Beijing may mete out as a result of this decision to declare that the one country, two systems era is over. President Trump specifically said that at the White House. As far as he's concerned, the Chinese are smothering Hong Kong's freedoms, and this is now one country, one system. So they are obviously aware of the massively important nature of the decision that President Trump unveiled at the White House just a short while ago. If, by the way, he was hoping to turn Hong Kong into an issue at the upcoming G7 summit, as we've come on air, we have just had news that Angela Merkel, the German Chancellor, is turning down the President's invitation for that G7 summit to be held in person here in Washington, D.C. That's going to be a setback for the White House. China, of course, not a member of the G7, but President Trump was very much hoping to use that in-person meeting here to demonstrate international solidarity towards the issue of Hong Kong in a further message towards China. So, look, I mean, President Trump today, Mike Pompeo, the Secretary of State before him earlier in the week, said that as far as they're concerned, the U.S. relationship with China is now at a historical turning point, that the United States no longer believes that China can be welcomed to a seat at the table of international developed democratic nations, that it has no interest in becoming a modern liberal democracy, and therefore that recalibration is absolutely underway. But this is a huge shot across the bows of Hong Kong's ability to continue operating as a global financial hub. And that is precisely, of course, the way in which the Trump administration intended it.
Simon, I guess my real question to you earlier was whether or not there is a plan for President Trump. I mean, there are many countries in this region that have been caught between the U.S. and China. Canada, for instance, and when they detained Meng Wanzhou at the request of the United States, there were repercussions for Canadian nationals. Now that Donald Trump has moved to suspend the entry of certain foreign nationals, he says, from China, citing them as potential security risks, what is the thinking behind that, and what is the expectation, the result that brings?
Well, as to whether there's a plan, I mean, there is a plan, Christine, and it's for Donald Trump to win re-election this November. And he will do anything and everything in foreign policy and domestic policy terms in a bid to bring that about. So there's no divorcing any of this decision making from the electoral timetable here. That move to close entry to the United States to those graduate students and researchers from China, the Trump administration says relates to the fact that they have the propensity, wittingly or unwittingly, to steal America's intellectual property so that it ends up in the hands of institutions back in China that the Trump administration argues are controlled by the People's Liberation Army. Now, they didn't provide any substantiation for those claims, but there has been a proclamation signed by the president, released here within the last few hours, closing America's borders to those graduate students and researchers. And by the way, there's a cost to the United States of that, because those graduate students pay fees to American educational facilities, and many universities across the United States have come heavily to rely on fees from China, particularly during the summer months. So this is going to cost American institutions just as much as it impacts those particular graduate students and researchers who are either here or were hoping to travel here.
Simon, more alarmingly, what is the continuing cost for the United States and the rest of the world if it does indeed be pulled out of the World Health Organization? There are still questions as to how the president is going to get that done. But with the pandemic continuing unabated. What is the real cost to human life?
Well, he says he's doing it. I mean, he has become, within the last few hours, the only leader on the world stage to be withdrawing his nation from the World Health Organization, folding his tent. That will have come as a surprise to the WHO. It was 10 days ago that Donald Trump gave the WHO 30 days to tell him how they were planning to reform the organization, or else, he said, then he would fold his tent and take his money away. 10 days later, he's not waiting for the 30-day deadline. He strode into the Rose Garden of the White House earlier and announced that he's doing it. Well, that has financial implications for the WHO. Hundreds of millions of dollars of badly needed funding that organization won't be getting. It has public health implications for the United States, because public health institutions here, including the government's own Centers for Disease Control, regularly work in partnership with the World Health Organization. All those partnerships now have to be undone. If the United States isn't a member of the WHO, it won't accrue any of the benefits of membership. Timely information about global diseases, alerts, research information, all of that. Why on earth would the WHO pass that on to a country that it is not a member of the WHO? So one of the questions here is, OK, Donald Trump wants to withdraw from the WHO. What does he want to replace it with for the United States? And we don't have an answer to that question, but definitely he was absolutely forthright about it tonight. He said that the WHO is entirely controlled, absolutely controlled by China, going further than he'd gone before, and that's why he's folding his tent and taking his funding with him.
Simon Marks, as always, important context and analysis from Washington, D.C. Many thanks for that.